ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Rollins. As always, how you doing today, Dwayne?
I'm good. I'm irritated by the Canadian Premier League, but you know, me being angry at some soccer decisions is brilliant. That's just pretty much my existence, right? Like I wake up at 3 a.m. yelling at the CSA randomly. It's odd, terrifying for those around me.
It is. Your cat's like, what? Why are you screaming? It's 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm trying to sleep. Stop yelling at the CSA. Yeah, let's start there. The Canadian Championship unveiled their draw yesterday, and we learned more information. So, one thing that happened over the last couple of days is the Canadian Premier League has been awarded a spot for the CONCACAF Champions League, a qualifying spot, so the spot that starts in the fall of every year, where you get to qualify for the elimination stage that happens in the spring. So there will be a Canadian Premier League representative this fall in the Canadian Championship, in the CONCACAF Champions League. But because the Canadian Championship won't be done until September this year, they have to find a way to have a representative for the upcoming 2019-2020 CONCACAF Champions League. And Dwayne, can you explain to us how they'll determine the first CPL representative?
Do I have to?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so once again, first check in the door has become the first advantage. There's an advantage to writing the check earlier. So what the CSA and their infinite wisdom has done, and I do want to stress it's CSA, and I know on very good authority that no one in the Canadian Premier League is happy with this decision. I've heard from multiple teams, multiple people at multiple teams, that they are all pissed by this decision. They think it is completely unfair, completely ridiculous, anti-competitive is what I keep hearing is the term. Anyway, to get into the details, for those that haven't heard. So, the Edmonton existed already, obviously, and also Winnipeg and Hamilton were the first two teams to be Canadian Premier League teams, the first people to sign the checks, the first people to sign on board. So what the CSA has decided is that those three teams, by virtue of the fact that they have existed longer than the rest of the teams that are in the league, you know, by months, really, going to play a mini round robin, not separate from the competition itself, but just with the games that they play, kind of like the original Voyageurs Cup format or a Cascadia Cup format, if you prefer. The most points from the games involving those three teams at July 1st, we'll get the berth in the, it's not the Champions League proper, but it's the league that qualifies for the Champions League. I don't know why they call it two different things. They might as well just call it Champions League qualifying. At any rate, they get that spot. So, look, we all think Hamilton's going to be one of the best teams, and they'll probably win this little thing. But nonetheless, this is completely ridiculous. It sends a terrible message off the hop, about the competitiveness and what matters in this league. This league has been presented as being purer than, you know, the unspoken big bad MLS that's next side of it, right? MLS has all those weird little competitive balance things in there. Canadian Premier League has been positioned as being the league that's the alternative to that. That's more pure, that's more European, whatever. Then they do crap like this.
Oh, you could have swore.
Is this MLS-y or what?
Yeah. Yeah, no. It is fascinating. And we'll see. And if you look carefully, it's the same three teams that in the Canadian Championship start in round two instead of round one, like some Canadian Premier League team who have to start from round one, like Halifax, Pacific FC, and York 9. They have to start in round number one. And then round two, you have Valor, so Winnipeg. You have Cavalry, who's in round one, too. In round two, you have Valor, Hamilton, and FC Edmonton. So basically, the first one who had their check cleared, who bought their franchise, got another little bonus or a little competitive advantage, which is literally the case.
Well, yeah, that's all this is. And I mean, hopefully this is the end now. There was memes going out today from Canadian Premier League fans, and this is, it's a watershed moment in a lot of ways. I've never, Canadian Premier League fans, these are fans of a concept, right? They're fans of an idea. These are pretty much true believers, and they're very much supporters of the league, and they're going to defend the league at all costs. They're very rarely, in a general term, going to be critical of league decisions. Today, they're critical of this decision. Yeah. I've never seen this before. This is the first time that I've seen universal condemnation about a decision. And again, I got to emphasize, this isn't the Canadian Premier League that's making this choice. I know with an absolute certainty that no one wants this. In fact, I'll go even a step further. Most of the Canadian Premier League teams do not want to be involved in the Champions League this year. They're worried that they're going to get embarrassed. They're worried that they're not ready for it. It's the Canadian Soccer Association that is forcing them into it a year earlier than they want. Everyone in the Canadian Premier League would have been perfectly happy waiting to 2020, having the champion go into that position, having a full 18 months to prepare for it. Think about this. You're trying to launch an entire structure of a professional team around, and then you have the proposition of playing, you know, you're not playing a Mexican team off the hop, but you have a proposition of playing like the top team in Honduras or something, right? And, like, yeah, not the top, but one of the top teams in Honduras. These are decent leagues, and they could have their ass handed to them, and no one wants that. That doesn't benefit anyone in this league. They do not want to be part of this, right? Yeah, but here we are. They're going to be.
Yep, and it's fascinating, too, what you mentioned when we look at the Canadian Championship, too, because to be honest, I was kind of hoping that the Champions League wouldn't start till next year for Canadian Premier League. And I'm surprised that the CSA has decided to find a way to get a representative already in the next tournament. And I guess they have to expand it, and it's either now or never. It was either this year or maybe 3-4 years down the road for the Canadian Premier League. I don't know. But I am surprised, just like you are, about the decision to put quickly a team in the CONCACAF Champions League. Now, that is done. We'll see if which of Valor, which of Winnipeg, well, Winnipeg is Valor, or
Hamilton,
yeah, or FC Edmonton, yeah, makes it there. But let's look at the 2019 Canadian Championship. 13 teams, 24 matches, 5 rounds. Qualifying round number 1. The match 1, Vaughan Azzurri, which looks like the Canadian Soccer Association logo. Please, Vaughn, we've asked you this many times. Change your logo. Vaughan Azzurri versus Halifax Wanderers. I'll be watching that. It's on May 15th, my mom's birthday, and the Halifax Wanderers will win that game, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Hey, I don't know. Vaughn's good. Match number 2, Cavalry versus Pacific FC. And match number 3, Blainville York 9. If I had to put money on a game, Dwayne, it's Blainville York 9. Blainville's going to beat York 9. And Blainville just signed a new player that you might have heard of before. Wandre Lefebvre, former defender for the Montreal Impact, has signed for the PLSQ team. I wouldn't be surprised at all if there's almost 2 upset in that round, where the League One Ontario and the PLSQ team might beat the CanPL team. Because the CanPL team, right now, we don't have a schedule. We don't even know if they would have played any games before May 15th.
But, well, they're the first game we play. York 9 will have played a game on April 27th, right?
Yes. So, who knows about the other teams? Like, we don't know yet.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, what I've heard on the schedule front, for those that are curious, is that they were waiting for this Champions League stuff to get sorted out, because they had to figure out a format that's going to allow teams to qualify. So now that that's out, there really is no excuse not to put a schedule out sooner or later. I've also heard, as I tweeted it this morning, that they are looking at a open-close system. So you'll have two seasons in one. I don't necessarily mind that, Kevin, particularly if, as I've also heard, that they have a Super Cup at the end of it, which sort of is the solution to those of us who think that a playoff, a big game, a big moment is needed in this league, and those that want to be more pure in the European sense. Of having leagues matter, having a Super Cup between the champions of the two sides, or if a team wins both of them, then they will be declared champions, and then they'll play the Super Cup, which everyone will assume is the real championship, and eventually will evolve to be that. Let's not kid ourselves, because we live in North America anyway, would be between the team that had the most points combined that was second in that case. So that's what I've heard. But it is a bit of a mess. And in terms of the Canadian the Voyageurs Cup and whether there'll be upsets in that, as I said earlier, I mean, these teams are going to be 2 weeks old at this point, playing against established established programs. And Vaughn's a very good program. They have an absolute opportunity to beat a team that we all have fears in Halifax. In terms of York 9, I think they're a little more talented. Certainly, I know the chaos that I'm hearing as you are about behind the scenes, but I do think that the talent on the field should be enough to get past Blainville. But you're right. Do not sleep on either of those teams to make it through.
That's what I like about this draw.
Yeah, the one thing I do like about this draw is that they're well at. There is guaranteed to be an MLS versus Canadian Premier League matchup. That will be the Whitecaps. Well, because of their bracket, will have to play a Canadian Premier League at some point, and I kind of like that.
And we'll go through that in a second. But just to finish on Blainville, they gave Ottawa a lot of trouble over the last couple of years in the Canadian Championship, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Blainville team do well in that qualifying round number one. Let's move to the qualifying round number one. So the winner of match one would be the winner between Vaughan and Halifax will go to Winnipeg to face Valor. Winner number two, so the winner between Cavalry and Pacific FC will face Forge FC in match number five. And match number four, the winner of Blainville and York 9 will face FC Edmonton. That's the second round. Again, home and away series, June 5th and June 12th. Moving on to qualifying round number three, this is where the USL team and the MLS teams, not Toronto, Toronto gets another bye, but on July 10th and July 24th, the USL's Ottawa Fury is playing the winner of match six. So the winner between Winnipeg and either Halifax or Vaughan Azzurri. Match number eight, you have the Whitecaps versus the winner of either Hamilton or Pacific FC or Cavalry. And then you have the Montreal Impact with the winner of FC Edmonton or Blainville or York 9. I kind of want Blainville to beat both York 9 and FC Edmonton to face the Impact. It probably won't happen. It's probably going to be FC Edmonton or York 9 facing the Impact in that qualifying round number three. But what do you think about qualifying round two and three, Dwayne, so far?
Again, I like the idea that there's a couple of things here. Putting the upset potential aside, it does look like the Fury will have to face Canadian Premier League team, assuming that things shake out the way that we would expect them to in that particular case. If not, then they're going to be facing a non-professional team. But nonetheless, I do like that potential matchup. And I think it's great, particularly if it's Calgary that gets through, or Edmonton. It wouldn't be Calgary or Edmonton, but it would be Pacific or Calgary or Forge that would have to play the Whitecaps. That's really a marquee matchup in that round, in that next round, and I do think that will be a good marker for the league. It'd be great if it was. Can you imagine Pacific versus the Whitecaps? That would be awesome to see that. Yeah. In terms of, I don't know, you continue down this bracket. I have thoughts about TFC's position in this, and people might be surprised knowing where I live, what my thoughts are, but nonetheless, you continue.
And TFC has the 2018 winner of the Voyagers Cup, are given another bye, which makes them in the semifinal round against the winner of match number seven, which is the Ottawa Fury versus either Halifax, Vaughan, or Valor. It's going to be Valor. So Valor or Fury, the winner of that, probably going to be Valor or Fury versus Toronto. And then match 11, which is the winner of match 8, so the Impact or their opponents versus the Whitecaps or the winner of that round to face in the semifinal. And then we get the final round on September 10th and September 25th. So this tournament goes from May to September this year.
It certainly does. TFC doesn't even get into it till August. But anyway, my thoughts on TFC is it's ridiculous that they have a bye to the semifinal. At least you can justify that they're the defending champions. At least you can do that. But no tournament ever should have someone getting a bye to the semifinals. It's ridiculous. It's completely uncompetitive.
Can you imagine? Let's put this into perspective. FA Cup. The defending champion of the FA Cup starts at Wembley in the semifinal. No? Doesn't work?
Silly. If I have to pick it right now, it's hard to pick against TFC winning the damn thing because they have so less to do. One of the justifications is that TFC will have to play CCL games starting in 6 days. My God, 6 days.
That's insane. Yes.
Yeah, so there, that's part of the justification that they come in a little bit later. I don't mind the champion getting a bye, but it should be the quarters. You know, as this tournament gets bigger, it should be further down that they have to win that they make it worthwhile. Like, I mean, I can imagine, put yourself in the head of a TFC player. How can they possibly take this competition seriously? They're coming to the semifinals. Yeah, they want to go to the CCL, but when I remember being on the field interviewing Michael Bradley and Jonathan Lazario after they won the Voyagers Cup last year, and they weren't talking about the Voyagers Cup winning as a competition. They were talking about qualifying from the Champions League.
Yeah.
That's how they view this tournament. It's a qualifier. It's almost an extension of the Champions League. If you want the Voyagers Cup to be a reward onto its own, you need to make it more competitive. You need to make it harder to win. And allowing TFC to come into the semifinals doesn't accomplish that. It doesn't accomplish anything. And hopefully, as this thing grows, there will be less buys and more competition, and the Voyagers Cup will be seen, just like the U.S. Open Cup is, as a championship worthwhile to win on its own. Albeit the third most important thing that an MLS team can win, but still important, just like the League Cup is still important in England. It's the least important of the important, but it's still in the important category.
Yes, exactly. I'm trying to follow you here. The least important of the important ones. But it's still important, even though it's the least important one. But it's still in the important category.
Logic.
Yeah, hey, it works. It's like MMA logic, where if one guy beats another guy and another guy beats the other guy, who wins the other third one? Exactly. Anyways, it's fascinating, too. We'll see how this unfolds. It's year one, and we'll see how it looks for the year after and for the potential expansion in the CPL with the potential rise of other Division 3 leagues in the country with more teams in League One Ontario or the PLSQ or more teams like Oakville Blue Devil, which we'll quickly touch on that. A couple days ago, they announced Stephen Caldwell as their president, and for a League One Ontario team to name such a high-profile president, you have to think there's ambition there. Oakville Blue Devil, if they make it to the Canadian Premier League, they'll be my second favorite team for sure. Very tied with Halifax, but that's because of personal reasons. But, you know, it is fascinating to see the ramifications of this, because eventually Oakville's going to be back at that level in the winner of League One Ontario or as a member of the Canadian Premier League. And it's fascinating to see all those pieces fall into place. But you talked about the split season. Now there's a controversy about the first representative, the controversy of why some teams in qualifying run, qualifying run two. I just don't want people to think that's a Mickey Mouse league, because it's not necessarily about the league. We've talked about it. It's the Canadian Soccer Association taking decisions that does reflect badly on the league itself. But is there a danger with those type of situations that we're seeing, that the league's first impression is a Mickey Mouse one?
It was absolutely a danger of that. And most people are going to, I mean, let's face facts. The casual fan of this sport and this game is not listening to our podcast. If they were, we'd have more Patreons, right?
Well, we want them to. We want them to, so press the RT button if you're listening, but go ahead.
Yes. Those that are informed know exactly that the CSA is behind this, but the casual fan does not. They're going to look at this and go, what the hell is this league doing? Like, what is it? They're going to blame the league. And that's why when this announcement came out last night and they buried it, it was announced at like 10 at night. Come on. They knew what they were doing with that. They did not release this information during the general news cycle. They knew that most, you know, other outside of the, you know, disgruntled hardcore, there wasn't going to be anyone screaming about this because it's already lost, right? God knows Trump's probably started a nuclear war by now, so we're forgotten about it, right? Hashtag politics. Anyway, it reflects badly on the league as a whole, and that's why when this message came out last night, I wasn't seeking them out. I was getting messages from people in the Canadian Premier League saying, this isn't us, instantly. So it's important to get that message out there, but it's not going to get out there. Just like they've dropped the ball a couple times now, and it's kind of disturbing as someone who wants this league to succeed. Like, the fact that they're going head-to-head against the MLS game is asinine. It truly is. Like, what are they thinking? And this is just part of it too. I mean, in terms of the scheduling issue, that was their choice. That's Canadian Premier League 100%. This is not, but together, if you're a casual MLS fan that goes to 4 or 5 games a year, you might look at this league. Maybe you live closer to Hamilton. Maybe you live closer to the York region. You might say, well, you know, maybe my money's better spent there. But then you look at these decisions and you go, ah, you know what? I'm going to go to TFC and follow them because they've got better players. And they've got, you know, it just reflects poorly. It's not a good look.
We'll keep an eye on the situation. We'll keep an eye on the reaction of fans. And make sure you listen to the latest 2002 Soccer Podcast tomorrow, where our guest, someone prominent in the Hamilton supporters group, the Barton Street Battalion, will be joining us on the 2002 Soccer Podcast. So make sure you go to patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. You take the pledge, $2 a month, 50 cents a week, 50 cents a show, cheaper than a cookie at McDonald's weekly. And you get a Canadian Premier League and Canadian soccer focused show. And tomorrow we'll talk about those decisions for sure. Now let's just move away from the Canadian Premier League. We'll stay in Canada. We're going into the snow belt. We're going into Montreal. A move that has been in the work for weeks and weeks now was confirmed yesterday. Surprise! A player from Bologna on loan to Montreal. Never seen that before, but this time it's a striker, Oryi Okonkwo, a young striker born in 1998 who played for Bologna a couple games, scored 3 goals over his career with Bologna, was loaned last year and this year as well to different clubs in Serie A or Serie B, and now he is going to the Montreal Impact to maybe become the number one striker, or for sure a good option there. He played with Safir Tider before. There's images of both of them together on the pitch celebrating after goals. So this could be a good chemistry on the pitch. It's another striker. The Impact needed a striker. What does it say for Jackson Amel? I don't know. He had a good camp so far. But Oryi Okonkwo, the Nigerian striker, now with the Montreal Impact doing.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're not going to know till we see him on the pitch. It's always a gamble when you're bringing someone in that isn't from North America to this league. They have to adjust, and some of them do, some of them don't. The Bologna pathway, Kevin, it's been hit or miss, is a fair way to put it.
There were some good ones. Just go back to Zamayli and Tider were the great ones, and then there's like Dion Baldor, who was a defender who was terrible.
Yeah. Hit and miss, like I say. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to dismiss this possibility as a way. Look, if I'm an Impact fan, I would want a slightly more surety when it comes to my striking options. But then again, this team is going to go as far as Piatti takes them. He is the offensive catalyst for the club, and whoever's up front is more of a holdup, more of a distraction for the true talent, which is coming from behind anyway.
It's hold up the ball and make sure Piatti gets involved type of striker.
Yeah, precisely. And look, I have never seen this guy play. I do not watch Bologna youth players. Sorry. Maybe I should. If you want to pay more Patreon, I will be happy to do that. But
It'll be fascinating to watch Bologna before the end of the season because they might get relegated. So they're in the relegation battle right now. And Joey Saputo, one day we should get someone from Bologna, for a journalist who covers Bologna, to come on the show and to talk to us about.
Did you hear about his press conference over there? He went over to announce the training ground and the team crapped the bed, so he decided that he was going to take the post-game press conference. It was so Joey. It was amazing. Anyway.
Or it's like the time where his team gets beat up 3-0 and he leaves after the game and supporters are with him, around him, and then they start yelling at him, and then he needs security to escort him outside of the Dallara Stadium. Yeah, it's fascinating. And look, this is not a stranger to his decision to let go of the presidency of the Montreal Impact. He's focusing on Bologna. He wants it's the newest toy. Not that it's shinier, not that it's better. It's different. It did cost him more money, and it's a Serie A team for now. Maybe Serie B next year, we'll see. Happily impressed by Kevin Gilmore as president of the Impact so far. But so far, it's been just discussion and more broad strokes and not real big important decision that he had to make. But just to go back on the Bologna striker not playing for Montreal, it's another something thrown at the wall, right? It's another idea thrown at the wall. It's another player thrown at the wall, and we'll see if it sticks. I am more confident for the Impact this year than last year, and it's, you know, it's going to be decided in the first 13 games. That's where the Impact lost its playoff capabilities last year. They lost 10 of their 13 first games. If they have half of that and they played similar the rest of the season, the Impact's a top four teams in the Eastern Conference. So it's all about the beginning. It's all about hitting the ground running, and we'll see if the Impact can do that. And the addition of Okwankwo as a striker is to give another option to Rémi Gall. Right now on the striker side, you have Maximiliano Urruti, and you have as well Orji Okwankwo and Jackson Amel. We'll see if a Novillo is used as a striker or as a winger, if Urruti is used in the midfield or not, but at least it's more bodies and more options, and you can find the one option out of all those players that fits better with the system at that moment, because that's one thing Rémi Gall really did last year, is to adapt his system sometimes to the opponent and sometimes not, and you need some different type of profiles on your bench and in your squad to be able to mold and adjust your schematics to the opponent. But I think it's more options. We'll wait and see if he is successful on the pitch, but at least it's one more puzzle to one more piece to the puzzle that Rémi Gall can build.
But like you say, if you throw enough spaghetti against the wall, some of the noodles stick. So that, yeah, no one's going to dismiss this outright. But at the same time, I think any player that comes in, and I don't care what level you've been at before, you have to prove yourself when you come to MLS, because MLS is a unique animal, as we've said many, many, many times before. But I do, the Impact have been quiet this offseason for the most part. Urruti is a good pickup, I believe. I really feel strongly on that. And I think Urruti is going to be the guy that really is your typical focus there when you're talking about a frontline guy. And I think that he has the potential to really work well with Piatti. I am pretty high on the Impact. I'm, you know, in my mind, I'm debating where I'm going to place him in my preseason picks. And we've got to set that show up soon. Can't wait. Yeah. It's our annual preview show.
Yeah.
But they're going to be, I'll spoiler, they're going to be a playoff team in my picks. So I do like what the Impact are doing. And this is just another addition to make you go, I wonder what he'll do.
Yep. And without the distraction of having a strained relationship maybe with the former president and the coach, now it's all brand new. It's all in the same direction, and everyone is agreeing on how to do things. So it'll be fascinating, and we'll keep an eye on this. But we want to finish the show by just quickly touched on yesterday's Champions League game and preview today's Champions League game. We're talking about the Champions League on the zone, the Champions League, the UEFA one. And, you know, we were talking about this quickly before the show while we're getting set up, and I was saying, Dwayne, I don't know about you, but because it's on the zone, and yes, we're both the zone subscribers, and we still watch it, but we're like, well, I kind of have a feeling this is out of sight, out of mind. I'm watching my Sports Center, my Sports Central, in the French, it's Sport 30, or my, well, I'm not watching TV Sport, I was going to say, but I don't watch it. You know, and I was not hearing anything about the Champions League. It's like a 2-second recap. Okay, it was 2-0. Okay, it was 2-1. Okay, next. Yep, out of sight, out of mind on cable TV for the Champions League.
Yeah, well, that's how it works. I mean, here in Canada, the CFL is on TSN, and if you turn on Sportsnet, you don't really hear CFL beyond the scores, right? It makes sense. They promote their own properties. You know, TSN has to cover the Blue Jays to a certain extent because they're so popular in the country, but
and
still
because
less
part than owners too. They're still part owners, and they show some games. But no, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's absolutely something that happens there. And you're right. Out of sight, out of mind is the way to put this. And that PSG United game was a fantastic game of football. And partly, you know, I'm only partly saying that because of how the result went against the team in red. But but it was.
That
it was a compelling game. And I mean, PSG, like, you know, the narrative going into that game was, you know, United's on the fly and, you know, Ole's going to take them and blah, 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 blah. And, you know,
and Neymar's injured and Cavani's injured. What's going to happen? I told you yesterday on the show what's going to happen. Mbappe's going to score and PSG will win. Well, it turns out Kimpembe and Mbappe scored and PSG won 2-0 at Old Trafford.
I took your advice. I had I put 20 on it, and you know, I'm $70 richer now. So there you go. But yeah, no, it was a great game, and I think PSG really sent a message there. And one thing I said control in that game is if you don't believe in the commitment they showed, if you can't appreciate the effort that that undermanned, like that injured team put forth at Old Trafford, you just hate new money. That's what it comes down to. And that's fine. You have that right. But by and large, you cannot look at the effort the PSG put forth in that game yesterday and think to yourself, oh, they don't care. They don't want it enough. They're just rich mercenaries. Come on, man. That was brilliant effort. Like, Di Maria just, he owned them all game. Should have drawn a red card in the end of the first half, but that's a debate from their day. It was a brilliant performance by PSG, and they've absolutely proven that they're one of the contenders for the championship. And United, two away goals,
it's going to be
a
tough.
Long way back from here. I mean, I think the narrative that United was the favorite, and I was listening to a show on the way in this morning that was recorded just before the game started, and they were talking about how United was the favorite in the tie. Well,
not really. They're not.
Didn't age well at all.
Yeah, that tweet didn't age well. But, you know, I agree with you. And for me, that's where it gets interesting, is PSG, without their talisman of Cavani and Neymar, still looks like the team we think they are. They are who we think they are. And they did not leave United off the hook.
What? Top 10 in the world talent-wise? Like, come
top
on.
Five. Still have top 5. Top 5. Dwayne, they're top 5 in the world. Easily. Yeah. Like, Barca,
he's
Real
the best
Madrid.
Young player in the world.
Yeah. Well, Mbappe's? Yeah. He's, like, so fast.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be... I was thinking this, actually, watching the game, Buffon in goal there. Like, it would be something if he finally won his Champions League for PSG. It would be wrong somehow, but...
It's like Romain Bourque winning the Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche. It's exactly precisely what it is. This is a really
good... We talked about hockey.
But this is the best hockey soccer reference I've ever made, I believe. Buffon. Gianluigi Buffon is Romain Bourque if he wins the Champions League with PSG this year. If you don't know who Romain...
This looked awkward with him holding the cup up. I can remember it was yesterday.
I was like, why are you wearing a white and purple jersey? You should be a Boston Bruins. But, hey, I went to school with his niece, so I had a good insight of that time. And let's just say Romain Bourque made a lot of money to go to Colorado and win a cup and then retire.
Touche.
Yep. All right. So we did the hockey reference. So usually that means the end of the show. So we'll wrap it up for today.
I didn't mention the Capitals, though. You know they're the defending Stanley Cup champions, right?
Who? The Capitals? I've never heard of them. Never heard of them. Tottenham versus Dortmund. A very interesting matchup today. The name on the marquee says hipster in that one. And then you had Ajax versus Real Madrid. Both game at 3 p.m. today. If you had to choose really quickly, Dwayne, who's your favorite in both those ties?
Well, I mean, obviously Real Madrid is running into form. They are. They beat Atleti in the derby last week. They drew Barcelona in the first half of the Copa del Rey semifinal that they're involved in. And they've woken up. It's like, oh, okay, it's February. It's time to play again. So you got to pick Real Madrid or Ajax. 100%. Well, Ajax is a nice story this year and all that great stuff, but they're a little overmatched here. In terms of the Dortmund versus Spurs, that might be the most interesting matchup of this round in many ways in terms of trying to pick a winner. You can make an argument for both. I tend to lean towards Dortmund, but I don't know what I'm basing that on other than the fact that I just don't believe Spurs can ever win something. Spurs is having a good year. The injuries, Dele and Kane out, that makes it hard. So I'm going to pick Dortmund there, but it is a fascinating matchup.
And both those games are today at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on DAZN. And we'll keep an eye on those games and talk about it tomorrow, maybe more Friday, because tomorrow is a Two Solid Dudes Soccer podcast for patrons only, where we only talk about Canadian soccer. We have a great guest tomorrow as well from the Barton Street Battalion, Hamilton Forge FC's supporters group, and we're going to talk about the Canadian Championship and more tomorrow on the Two Solid Dudes Soccer Podcast. So go to patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to 4 shows a month about Canadian soccer and more. And as always, you can follow Dwayne on Twitter at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame. And you like the show? You listen live on Twitter every day? Share it, please. Retweet. just press that button. It really does help us and helps us make our show more popular. And you make us, you make other soccer fans discover us, which makes us more views, which gives us more chance to do more shows as well. So thank you for your support over the last 4 years now. Almost five. That's insane. It's 5 years almost. That's insane. 5 years. And as always, until next time, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.